your Bibles this morning and open to 2 Kings chapter number 4. The book of 2 Kings chapter number 4. I want to preach about a story that happened here, one of the great miracles in the Old Testament, and involved a preacher by the name of Elisha. Elisha was the successor of Elijah, the great man of God, and Elisha prayed that a double portion of Elijah's spirit would fall on him. And it did. And if you'll check your Bible, read through there sometime, Elijah done something like, I forgot how many miracles he done, and Elisha performed exactly twice. Amen. So a double portion of Elijah's spirit did fall on Elisha. And that happened many times in the Old Testament. But I want to read you a story about a woman in the Bible who was a widow, and she's having a hard time. And for anybody in here that's ever had a hard time, anybody in here that's ever had a hard time paying your bills or making ends meet or going through a rough struggle, marriage, with kids, a kid rebelled on you, driving you crazy, worrying you to death. All of us have been through stuff. And if you ain't, your turn's coming. And so this happened here, and I want you to look at it with me, if you will. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1. Bible said this, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead." She is a widow. "And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Look at that, y'all. Look at that scripture. We're going to read more, but look at that. You know how they did business back in them days? Back in them days, they if you couldn't pay your bills, they'd take everything you've got. Take your land, your house. Awful to say, but when it come right down to it, they'd take your kids and make them as bondmen. Make them work for the government, work to pay it off. Now that sounds awful to us nowadays. That still goes on in a lot of countries. She said, "They're going to take my two sons to work and pay the bills that I can't pay." How'd you like to be in a situation like that, where they're actually going to take your kids out of your home and make them work to pay money that you owe? Said a creditor was going to do it. Now, verse 2, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee?" The man of God said, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And they cooked with oil and made cakes and stuff with it. That's how they live, cornbread and stuff. Verse 3, "Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." He said, "You go borrow you a bunch of empty big old cans, like buckets, like 5-gallon buckets, or like big old things like that. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Now I want to preach this morning on the subject, proving God in a time of trouble. Proving God in a time of trouble. If you don't need this message today, the day will come when you're going to need it. And the story was like this. This woman didn't have nothing. She had one pot of oil in her house. If you went and opened up her cabinets, there was nothing. If you went and opened up her refrigerator, it was nothing. She had one little bottle of water. I was looking for something I could use here, but I'm going to use this bottle of water here, and I want to let that represent what she had. That's all she had in her house. It's probably bigger than this, but that's all she had. They used it to cook with. They used it to bake cakes with. They called cake bread, like me and you would eat bread, and they lived off of it. They lived off baked bread and potatoes and stuff. They didn't eat meat and vegetables and everything three times a day like we have it. People didn't have it back then. So she had that one vessel of oil. One vessel. That's all she had. And she looked. Her cabinets was empty. She looked down underneath. They wasn't nothing. She opened the refrigerator. They wasn't nothing. She said, me and my son are going to eat off that one vessel and we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. So she called the man of God. She said, preacher, she said, my husband was a good man. My husband feared the Lord and I'm in trouble and I need help. He said, what do you need me to do for you? She said, tell me what to do. I'm glad she had enough advice or enough sense to go to the man of God for advice instead of the world or somebody out there that would have told her to try to go steal it somewhere or something. She went to God's man. She said, what should I do? You'll always be better off to go to God's man and say, help me. Tell me in the Bible what I'm supposed to do. Show me in the Bible what I should do. And he said, all right, I tell you what you do. He said, you go out to all your neighbors and you borrow a bunch of empty vessels. So she did. She sent her son. So she said, now you go down that street and you go down that street and we're going to borrow. And I don't know how many they got, but they filled up that house with big old jugs about that high, like we would say 5 gallon buckets. And he said, then he said, you take that bottle of oil that you've got and he said, you pour that in that vessel. She said, all right. And they did that. They had a bunch of things there. So he went like that, and it was like Tricky Ricky. Remember that trick old Tricky Ricky used to do? He poured and kept coming out of there, kept coming out of there, and kept coming out of there, and kept coming out of there. And they thought, where in the world is that coming from? It filled that bucket up. She went like that. It filled that bucket up. She went like that. It filled that bucket up. And she filled all those buckets up with what come out of that. Now, you've heard me preach before. I ain't preaching on this morning. I preached on little as much when God is in it. You know what our problem is today? We think we can figure out everything in our mind. And I think I can figure out a business way to do this, and that's all right. God did give us a mind. But there's sometimes that you've got to prove God in a time of trouble. And that's exactly what she did. She filled them all up, and she said, what are we going to do with all this? And he said, go sell and pay your bills, and you and your sons live off the rest of it. That's what he said. He didn't say declare bankruptcy. He didn't say tell them you can't pay it. He said you pay everything you owe everybody and then y'all can live off of the rest of that. Isn't that some story? And he said, all right. And her little old son went out saying, you know that vessel I borrowed? It's full of oil now. You don't buy this? And they bought their own vessel back with it full of oil. And he went all over. They brought that money back and they said, hallelujah, mama. Look what's happened here. And she took it and she wrote a check to the phone company and she wrote a check to Sears and she wrote a check to REA and Duke and she wrote one to the brother and went and then brother they went to Super Walmart or Ingles and brother they bought an office load of groceries and they're filling out because God brought them through the time of trouble. Now I want to say a few things about this story this morning and I know that somebody in here needs this. I know it because the Lord put this on my heart yesterday evening, and I want to say a few things about it. There are thousands of cases through history when God's people were at the absolute end of their rope. I've been there several times. I'm sure many of you have been. We have been to the point where we say, I just absolutely don't know what to do. And a man said one time, he said, when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Because that's when God's going to do something for you. You know what our problem is? One of the hardest things we have doing in 21st century America is trust in the Lord. We want to be able to see it. We want to be able to touch it. We want to know it's there. We want to know the money's in the bank. And I'm like that too. We have a hard time just trusting God. Let's see this story here in just a minute. And the first thing I want to say is, number one, God's people are often severely tested and tried. Now, that's hard for us to get sometimes, but it's the truth. Sometimes God's people go through some terrible, terrible trials. And this widow, she can't understand this. She says, "Preacher, my husband was a God-fearing man. He died and left us, and we can't pay the bills. I don't know how come I'm having to go through what I'm having to go through." Now, that time is coming for you. That time has come for me and will come again before it's over with. We all go through times in our life where we think, this is severe. This is bad. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. This is awful. Dear God, we go through times of trouble and testing. Now, nobody knows the pain and suffering that people go through in this world. You know why young people are so wild? Because they've never been through much trouble. You wait till they go through some things. They'll calm down a little bit. Young people want to party and live it up because they think, man, the world's a big place to party. You'll hit bottom a few times. You'll get your head knocked off a few times. You'll realize this old world ain't no party. I mean, this is a rough world. There's hard times for all of us, and hard times are there. My heart goes out to you. We have people sitting in here this morning that is in the process of going through a divorce or going through a terrible. I mean, nobody knows the pain that a woman feels when a man comes in and says, "I don't love you anymore." Nobody knows the pain that you find a note on the table that says, "And I found somebody else, and I'm gone." That's a rough, brother. That's a hard time to go through. Nobody knows the pain unless you've been through it of a husband dying or a wife dying. Her husband has died. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I know God put this in the Bible to encourage you and to tell you God's people are often tested and sometimes going through a hard time. I have people call me and they say, "Brother Danny, I don't know what I'm going to do. My teenager's gone crazy. They're living for the devil. They're in sin. They're on drugs. And Brother Danny, they're driving me crazy. What am I going to do? It's awful. It's awful." I've never had to go through that, but I can only imagine how painful it would be to have a teenager and you don't even know where they're at. And you don't even know if they're alive or dead. And you're expecting that call just any time. They're gone. They're gone, found their body somewhere. Or they're locked up. That'd be a terrible way. I mean, to hear that your teenager has gone into something, I mean, that's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking. I'm saying this morning, God's people go through severe trials. God's people go through. It's just part of life, people. It's just part of life. And if you think you're going to go through this life and everything's just going to be great all the time and you're never going to have to suffer and you're never going to have a problem, you are in for the shot of your life. That Bible says man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just like you build a fire, sparks go up. That's how sure it's going to be you have a problem. You build 1,000 fires, 1,000 times sparks are going to go up. That's how sure you're going to have trouble. God's people are severely tested and tried. But I want to say secondly this morning, God's people often question His wisdom during trouble. We often question the Lord. She did. She said, "God," she told Elisha, she said, "My husband feared God." She said, I would think that the Lord would take care of me and bless me because my husband feared God. Why is this happening? Now, let me tell you something. This is very important. You get what I'm about to say. Make sure that you don't get bitter or question God and say, "Lord, I've tried to live right. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I do that. Why did you let this happen to me?" Make sure you don't get that attitude. Because I'm going to tell you something this morning. That woman's husband did fear God. He was a God-fearing man. But that don't exempt us. Some of the best people that's ever been in this world had one problem right after another. It's just that way, people. That's just the way it is. And brother, sometimes we question the Lord. You say, "How could this be happening? I've tried to live." I've heard people getting mad and backsliding, quitting church over everything went haywire, and they got mad at God. And they said, "God, I've put a lot of time, I've prayed, I've done right. Now, why'd you let this happen?" Let me remind you that the Lord never promised you that everything would be all right the rest of your life when you got saved. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Job, one of the greatest men that's ever lived, went through unbelievable physical suffering. All his sons and daughters got killed. And you couldn't find one thing wrong with him. You couldn't find one sin in Job's life. The Bible said he was perfect and feared God and eschewed evil. He hated everything that was bad. He loved everything that was right. And Job's world fell apart. His absolute everything. Have you ever thought, Lord, why did this happen? I'm trying to do right. Now, why did you let this happen? It's human nature to question God when bad things happen to us. She said, why did this happen? I'm going to tell you one thing this morning. I don't know why. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I don't know why some of the things that's happened to me has happened to me. I don't know why, but I do know this. And I'm going to tell you this morning on the authority of that book, God Almighty makes no mistakes. If He's allowed something hard to come in your life, there is a reason for it. He makes no mistakes. God makes no mistake. He does what's right. God does what's right. He's never done you wrong. He never has. He never will. God in heaven don't make a mistake, people. Whatever bad's happened to you, God knows it, and He allowed it to come your way for a reason. Number three, God's people have a source that the world don't have when we go through problems. You say, boy, I feel sorry for Christian people, all the trouble they go through. You know who I really feel sorry for? Them people that don't even have the Lord. People don't even have no Bible. Don't even have no promise of heaven. I mean, how would you like to live in terrible life here on this earth and be miserable your whole life, then die and go to hell? At least we got an answer. At least we know there's a better day coming. At least we know, thank God, it ain't going to be like this forever. At least we know we have a Heavenly Father watching over us. Listen, God's people have a source of help that the world don't have. She was a wise woman. She didn't go to Montel. She didn't go to, what's his name, Dr. Phil. She didn't go to him and say, what do you think about it? She didn't go to the government and try to beg for him. She said, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to ask God's man what I should do, and I'm going to trust the Lord. What you got to do in your trouble is trust the Lord. She had a source that the world don't have. You know what she said? She said, I heard an old song one time that said this, and I've sung this song before for my own self, and you probably have too. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Trying to get along, to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Leading a comfort and in a time of sorrow. Where could I go but to the Lord? I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what your trouble is. Maybe you can't pay your bills. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe your kids are driving you crazy. I don't know. But I tell you, thank God, you've got Him to go to. You've got the Lord to go to. Where could I go but to the Lord? I've been through enough. Like they sing, I love that song they sing. I've been through enough to know He'll take care of me. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, people, there is a God in heaven. He knows what you're going through, and He'll take care of you if you'll trust Him. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. I know there's people in here that need this. I know there's people in here that say, Brother Danny, I don't know where I'm going from week to week. Can't pay my bills. My car's tore up. We have bus workers. I mean, Kim, bless her heart. The problems she's had and the struggle they've had. Sometimes, anytime, don't even have the money to go on bus route. But you know what she keeps saying? She kept saying, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. Whatever you're going through this morning, you learn how to trust Him. God's people have a source the world don't have. And when I'm weak, He is strong. When I need help, that's when the Lord steps in. When you can't do it, that's when He will do it. Amen? Number four. Listen to this is very important. God's people are often at the end of their rope before God finally steps in. And the reason for that is so you'll know it's Him. Sometimes when you hit bottom. Amen. I know, brother, that's when the miracle takes place. You see, if you could figure it out and work it out, then you would know, well, I done this. But when you get down there where you say, nobody can get me out of this but God, and then it works, then He gets the glory and you know it was Him. Have you ever been in a place where nothing or nobody but God could help you? If you ain't, you will. And I'm telling you, during that time, that's where she was at. That's where she was at. There was no way she could make money. She couldn't provide for two sons. She could not do it. It had to be the Lord. It had to be the Lord. And brother, God's people are often at the end of the rope. You know what they said? They said one time, they studied these ants. And ants are an amazing creature. And them things can carry, an ant can carry its weight. It's almost like me picking up that piano and half of this choir and carry it. Be like me carrying a car on my back. That's how strong an ant is. And they said, watch this ant, and it had a piece of straw that it was carrying. So the ant was this big and a piece of straw was that big. So it'd be like me carrying maybe a cross tie or something. And the ant was carrying it like that, and it was a heavy burden, and it was coming down on that ant. And he said that ant came up to a crack, big old crack in the earth's crust, and wasn't nothing but a straight ditch down through there. And he said that ant stopped for a second and looked this way and looked that way and looked this way and looked that way, and then it flipped that thing over across that crack and made a bridge and walked across it like that, and then it picked that thing up and kept going. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, you know what that? His burden became a bridge. His burden became a bridge. And I don't know what you're carrying this morning. I don't know how heavy it is. You may have just barely walked in here today. You may have said, oh, I just don't know how much longer I can take it, preacher. I just don't know. You know what you can do? Flip that thing over. Let your burden become a bridge. He's a bridge over troubled water. I hate to quote that. But that's the truth, brother. The Lord is the bridge. He said, I'm the way. Cast your bread on the waters. Put the bread, the straw across the bridge or the crack, and you'll make it across. Daniel was in the lion's den, and there's no way in the world he could come out of there alive. Anybody they throwed in there, them lions crushed their bones like me and you would eat a peanuts, cracking them things, crushed their bones, and they never touched him because God was with him there in that situation. He was at the end before he found out that God could do it. The Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. There's no way they could live. There's no way they could live, people. They could not live. But they did anyway, because God preserved them through the fire. Paul was in jail. He could not come out. There was no way out for him. But God delivered him. Brother Danny has been in problems one right after another. But God always brings, just like a priest at the youth rally. He knows what he's doing. Jesus was on the cross. They thought it was over. But God raised him from the dead. And his life is still going. I'm telling you, sometimes you have to get to the bottom before you realize there's a way up. You've heard me tell about Harry Ironside's mother, the great preacher Harry Ironside. She had two sons, and her husband was a preacher, and he died. And she was left a widow to raise two sons, just like this woman here in this story. And I told you several stories about her, but they said that woman, they was sitting at the table one day, and she was sitting there and had no food for their kids except what they had in the house. And they ate it, and she said, this will be the last food we have. I don't know what we're going to do. I have no idea how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to get through this. And she said they had company over, and they fed that company, and they let them all come, and she gave them the last bite of food in the house. That reminds me of my mom. Mom used to do that. If there's one bite of food in the house and somebody needed it, she'd give it to them. I promise you she would. And that's what this woman does. She said, well, I fixed them the last bite of food we have. And she said, when they got gone, she was picking up their plates, and she looked up and picked out a $10 bill that one of them had left under the plate. And she shouted and said, hallelujah, and went and bought a bunch of groceries. You could buy a lot for $10 back in them days. You know what that means? That means sometimes God lets you come down to the very end before He'll step in and fix the problem. Thank God. God's people, number five, and an acceptable thing that I'll be done. God's people have to learn to trust and obey. We've got to learn to trust and obey. Don't question God. And the last thing you need to do is get mad at Him. The last thing you need to do is get mad at God. I've had people tell me, and it makes my skin crawl. They'll say, well, I don't see why God... Don't talk like that. He's in control. He's got your life in His hands. Brother, every breath you breathe, He's got... Don't get mad at Him. I've had a man tell me years ago, he said, Danny, how do you keep from getting bitter over all you've been through? And I said, it's easy. I realize if I got what I really deserved, I'd be burning in hell right now. And no matter what happens, God's been good to me. Amen? That's my philosophy, brother. God's been good to me. If I'm allowed to live today and breathe air and see them kids over there and just eat a bite of food, God's been good to me. Hallelujah. Don't ever get this attitude of, why has God let this happen? And God's not sure. He's been unfair. And it's not. No, no, no. Your sins cause a lot of problem. The devil's caused a lot of problem. But God ain't been nothing but good to you. And He's blessed you. Hallelujah this morning. God's people need to learn to trust and obey. Amen. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Amen. As a matter of fact, I can look back over my life right now. I remember all of it. And if you had to say today, Danny, when have you grown more and learned more about the Lord? I would point out those times when I was having it the worst. You don't grow in the Lord sitting out here at the Pizza Hut with a bunch of Christians laughing and cutting up and eating pizza. That's fun, but that ain't the way you grow. If you look back, the times you grow, I'm not talking about that kind of grow. You'll grow, all right. I'm talking about growing spiritually. You grow spiritually when you're having it hard. You know why? Because it drives you to your knees. It'll take the sin out of your life. It'll make you quit sinning. When everything's going good, you got a tendency to lighten up a little bit. Lay your Bible down. Miss church. Not pray. But buddy, when them hard times hit, you'll straighten up real quick. God's people learn to trust Him and obey. I heard about a fellow by the name of John Howard Payne. He was homeless. Wandered around, didn't have nowhere to live. And you know what? He finally got one and he wrote a famous song. You've heard it. Home Sweet Home. The man who wrote the song, Home Sweet Home, knew what it was like to not have one. And the reason God lets us go through troubles and problems and burdens and hurt, heartaches and get our heart broke and cry and weep is so that we'll appreciate it when we get through it, and so we can help other people going through the same thing. Man, I've been to funeral homes before. Somebody's daddy just died. And I put my hand on their shoulder and said, I know what it feels like. I lost my dad. And see, when you go through a rough time, this woman, I'll guarantee you, the next ladies' Bible study they had, I'll guarantee you, she said, I want to stand up and say something. We didn't have nothing in the house to eat. And I thought, honestly, I thought the Lord had forsaken us. But God's good, God's good, God's good. I talked to Preacher Elisha about it. He told me what to do. And the Lord, I don't know where it come from. But God took care of us. Hallelujah. I'm glad to say this morning, people, let me just say this morning, God's not dead. God's still on His throne. God still loves you. God still cares about your need. God's still concerned about what concerns you. He's still touched with the feeling of your infirmities, and the Lord cares about what you're going through. I'm going to say this and I'm done. God's people always have God's help if they'll trust Him. A miracle came and saved. You know what they done? I read this story. Some bunch of scientists somewhere, they took these animals. I don't know what the animals was, dogs and cats, something like that. And they had two sets of them. They put one set in a room and it had perfect temperature, and they fed them three times a day, or however much you're supposed to feed them. And they took care of them if they was ever sick or anything, had a vet come in, took perfect care of these animals. They took another set of animals and put them through very, very hard time. Didn't feed them regular, didn't wash them, let cold air hit them. And you know what? They said in a few years' time, this set of animals was stronger and healthier than that set. And what that proves is, if you ever have any, if everything goes right for you all the time, and nothing ever goes wrong in your life and everything's perfect, you'll be a weak Christian and a weak person. But these hard times and these rough times and these times when you think I just can't make it will make you strong. Make you strong. You know what she found out? She found out you can prove God in a time of trouble. A miracle came and saved her. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I guarantee it. You trust Him. He'll bring you through. He said, well, I'm on a bit. She could have sat up and figured and done stuff all night trying to finagle, and it would have never helped her. She just done what God's man said and trusted the Lord, and then she made it right on through. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.